Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. You're listening to What to Read Next podcast, episode 31. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. This podcast is hosted by Laura Amin, a voracious reader of romance and young adult novels. In this podcast, Laura interviews fellow readers and authors and asks them for book recommendations of what we should read next. We hope you enjoy it. Welcome to the show, guys. So happy to have you back. We're starting a new season of the What to Read Next podcast. In this season, I'm going to interview authors and fellow readers and ask them, what books should we read next? I am so excited for you to take a listen to these shows. They're a lot of fun to create and a lot of fun to do. In this episode, I'm interviewing Lexi Blake, and a fun fact is that she's my most read author. I've read 30 of her books. Yes, you heard that right, 30 of her books. And I'm a huge fan of your work, as you can tell, and I can't get enough of it. So anytime she releases a new book, it's the first book that I'm going to be reading on my TBR. That's what it is. In this episode, we chat about her writing process, her books, and her book recommendations. I hope you enjoy the show. Now let's get to it. Hi, Lexi. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, see, that's always the weird question. What do you say about yourself? I'm from Texas. I write books. I've probably been writing since I could pick up a pen. I started out in high school writing plays, kind of surged into trying my hand at screenplays and comic books, and I finally found novel writing. I kind of came back to what I really, really loved, so.
How long have you been writing, like, novels now?
I started at my first novel. The first one I finished, I started about, God, I just had about 20 years ago.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, yeah. I've been doing it for a long time. I actually wrote for probably, nine books before I ever published anything.
Oh my gosh. So, and you're for the
first there's time. About 13 years there before I really, really started trying to publish.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. And you're prolific writing because I actually read 30 of your books, so. You're actually my most read author.
That's a lot. Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what my Goodreads says. I was like, oh my gosh, I read 30 of her books. So, you're really
amazing.
Yeah,
once I started, I really got going there.
Yes, you did. And I love it. And thank you so much for putting so many books out there because I devour them. So, I've been reading them, I think, since last year. I started with the Ruthless trilogy. That's how I introduced myself to your work. And then I ended up just wanting to know more, and that's how I ended up going to the Master Mercenary world, which then after that, it's been pretty much anything you actually put out, I buy it and I read it.
See, that's how I trick you. I bring you in. It's like, here, have a little candy, girl. And then hopefully you get involved with the characters. You want to read all the rest.
Yes, indeed. It's like crack. I want more.
That's right. That's what authors are.
Yes. And we'll be talking more about your books later. So let's talk about your writing style. So do you share your work along the way, or do you wait until it's completed for others to read?
I actually work with my editor reads it chapter by chapter while we're going through. We've really worked on this editorial process. And my editor has been, I work with several editors, obviously. I have a Berkeley editor, but on my independent stuff, everything goes through Kim, who's been with me since the very beginning. She's also my assistant. Basically, she gets a chapter every time I finish one. I send it to her. She's going to make sure that I haven't done something incredibly stupid, like, oh, that can't possibly happen because you said this in another book. But I don't really get a lot of feedback until I finish the book.
Okay. That's really good to hear. So how do you organize yourself as a writer? How do you keep track of your ideas, your inspirations, your characters? Like, you know, and you have a world that's full of characters and full of different intrigue and spies and whatnot. So how do you keep track of all?
I love that you say organized. because I am probably one of the more disorganized people when it comes to that. I have like 15 notebooks I'm sitting looking at right now on my desk that I don't even know what's in them all. I end up just writing things down and shoving it in a notebook. But again, Kim, my assistant slash editor, keeps everything. She keeps a series Bible that I can look up. It's in our Dropbox. And we can go and make sure that everybody's eye color is the same book by book. And hopefully, we still make some mistakes.
That's okay. I appreciate
you. Yeah, over the course of like a 17, 18 book series, it's just inevitable.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. But, you know, it's totally fine. After you're so immersed in the world, like, things like that, it doesn't matter. It's just kind of like, oh, you just keep moving on. It's like, because you may forget about it, too, as a reader. Like, you've been in this for, like, 17 books. And it's like, oh, okay, that's a detail that I may forget about. And it'll just spark back. It's like, oh, okay, that's interesting. So I got a question for you, and this is something that's unique for your books, is that you do deal with the BDSM world. So what is it like to write those scenes? And what do you think why people are so into it now?
I think that, you know, obviously 50 Shades had a big influence on the book world. I think the reason people are interested in it, though, is because BDSM forces you to take sex seriously.
Yes.
You have to talk, and it can be very refreshing in your marriage, even in a long-term marriage, to be forced to sit down and say what you need.
Yeah.
Too often, we just expect our partner to mind read, and we end up being frustrated by it. So I think that this lifestyle is a really great metaphor, if it's not taken completely and utterly literally. I think it's a great metaphor for how we should conduct ourselves in our marriages. By, you know, sitting down, talking it out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, I really appreciate, I think, you know, I was introduced to BDSM through 50 Shades of Grey, and I was turned off by it because I didn't feel like it was done properly. And then I got into your books and I was like, oh, this is why it works, because there's a lot of communication that needs to happen, needs to be spelled out. And there's a power in the relationship that happens. That's not just, I don't know, it doesn't feel like gratuitous. This feels like, oh, it's just, there's something, there's a meaning behind it.
Yeah, I don't tend to write what you would call a total power exchange. I tend to write play.
Yeah.
I like to call myself sugar kink, because at the end of the day, these two people are still partners, and they still have equal roles in the relationship, and nobody's going to tell my female characters what to do outside the bedroom.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. Yes. That's so true. So do you worry about other people think about what you write, like friends, family, or people who might have influenced your writing, your characters?
I did at first. You know, it's funny. A lot of people ask me if I wrote this book called Men with Golden Cuffs, and it had a female erotic romance writer in there. A lot of my experiences, I wrote into that book. Just writing romance by itself can make people make fun of you, you know? Yeah. Then you get into erotic romance and it's worse, and it's like, we're the bottom of this barrel. But the truth of the matter is, these people don't connect with it. Okay, that's fine. That's not my problem. That's not my worry. I've got to worry about the people who do connect with it and the people who do love it. As for friends and family, my kids know what I write. I would never hide that from them because I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
So, no, I really don't. So the people who might be upset that I wrote a little aspect of them into a book that maybe wouldn't make them look so good are probably people I don't talk to anymore.
That sounds good. I think that's a good way to go. So. Now let's talk about your book. So let's talk about, who's your favorite character?
Oh gosh, that's like asking me who my favorite child.
Pick a child. I know.
You know, obviously the character who's easiest for me to write is Ian Taggart.
Okay. So let's talk about Ian, by the way, because he's my favorite character. Who inspired you to write this character?
Oh, I'm married to Ian Taggart.
Oh my god.
Follow my husband around. I literally will write down the things he says and they show up in a book.
Oh my god, that's amazing. And I love the
prequel that you're sharing now in your newsletter. I have to tell you, it's been amazing. I love it. It's kind of like awesome to see.
Oh, it's really how fun. Yeah, Paradise City.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to read how Charlotte and Ian met, that I'm going to be kind of revealing that over the course of probably about 6 to 10 newsletters. So I think it's going to be fun.
It is definitely fun. I was surprised. I was like, of course, Charlie is going to show up and she's going to say her wishes, you know, to all the submissives. It's perfect. So
yeah, I'm enjoying getting to see Ian before Ian's so established now. It's kind of nice to go back and see who he was before all that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. I love seeing Ian in the Sirens. I saw him on the Siren Enslave, I think he showed up. And it was interesting to see before the Master of Mercenaries world, like how he's already established and he's already put in place. Now he's like starting up McCain Tired, like putting it all together. It was interesting to see that world, like from a prequel. So
thank you. I'm glad that's working.
Yeah. So I got a question for you from Master of Mercenaries. Is the series done or are you planning to put more books in this world?
Oh, no. The first, what I like to call the first, the first part is done.
Okay.
We're about to start a spinoff series called The Forgotten. But I can tell you, Ian is in the first, like on the first page of this book.
Okay.
We're just shifting focus, and it's a way for me to get away from the Bond titles because I've run out of Bond titles.
Yeah.
There's no way, like, there are no more good Bond titles to use. I can't do Octodom.
I know. It's okay.
So, yeah, we'll go through the five books that feature the Lost Boys.
Okay.
Who were basically in prison with Theo Taggart, and then we'll actually time jump and go on to some of the younger men, like Hutch and Michael and Grace's sons.
Oh, yeah, there's a Michael book. Okay, I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
Awesome. And did you foresee...
So absolutely not. This series is going to go on for a long time.
Okay, I'm so glad. I love the series a lot. Did you foresee when you were writing the books that Ian and Sean were going to have younger brothers? Is that something you knew from the beginning, or is that something that pop up and like later on? Like, oh, his father... to have other book, have the other sons.
Sometimes the characters, as they're, I'm sitting there and I'm writing Love and Let Die, and I'm in Eli Nelson, who's the bad guy in the first five books. I'm in Eli Nelson's POV, and he says something about he knew something Ian didn't know, and that it was, you know, that he had two brothers and he was gonna go get. No, that was the first time they showed up.
Okay. That's really interesting to hear. Yeah, it was interesting to see. That was like, it was kind of fun. And then seeing the parallels of the younger brothers with Sean and Ian, that was a fun to witness. So thank you. All right, now let's talk about books that influence your writing. So what type of book do you read? What type of books do you read?
I read, you know what? I read a lot of fantasy and a lot of paranormal.
Okay.
I tend to try in a lot of ways to stay away. A lot of writers do this. I tend to try to stay away from books that are in my wheelhouse, like what I write for the most part.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get influenced. And honestly, you're in that world all day long. So it's kind of nice to go to a different world when you read. But I do read, I read a lot of thrillers that don't have a lot of romance in them.
Okay.
And oddly enough, I read a lot of books from like the 80s and 90s.
Any favorite titles that you remember?
My absolute favorite book of all time is a book called Trust Me by Jane Ann Krentz.
Okay.
I love Linda Howard from that back then. Iris Johansson when she was writing historicals. The one I'm obsessed with right now though is Sarah J. Maas has a series called Court of Thorn and Roses.
Yes, I love that series.
Oh, I love that series.
So good. Yes, that series was amazing. I love the first book was okay, but the second book was amazing. So you just got better.
I know. And it took that twist that you didn't expect.
Yes.
Like I did not expect that. Like, you really don't meet the hero until the second book.
Yeah.
You do, but you don't know he's the hero. But
yeah,
I love that series so much. I just read a series by Jenna Armentrout that I loved called the Lux series. And then I'm so thrilled that Larissa Young's bringing back Demonica.
Amazing. So what's the last book do you read?
So the last book I read was A Court of Frost and Starlight.
Oh, awesome. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no, I actually have that book. Sorry.
Yeah, it came out a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, it came out a few weeks ago. It's a short novella, which is 200 pages long. So,
yeah. I'm with her on that. I can't write short either.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah, I love her books. I want to consume more, and I'm looking forward to the spinoff series for that series. So.
And then before that, I just finished The Thief by J.R. Ward, so.
Ooh, I've been meaning to get into J.R. Ward, so this is something interesting. I'll definitely look out for that.
Oh, I love them.
That's awesome. Can you give us a sneak peek of any upcoming books or teasers to our audience that you're writing or that are coming up in the next few months?
Well, I've got a couple of books coming out this summer. Order of Protection comes out on next Tuesday. It's an odd spinoff from the Lawless series.
Yeah.
But it also has to do with McKay Taggart.
Yes.
So it's based, I don't know if anybody remembers in the first book when Ellie ends up getting taken to jail.
Yeah.
She gets this defense attorney. His name is Henry Garrison, and he's very, very abrupt. But anyway, he is the hero of this book. But he's starting a law firm with Noah Lawless, who's the youngest Lawless brother. But the odd thing about this book is it actually takes place about 7 to 10 years in the future.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was wondering. I was wondering over the timeline. I read this book and I enjoyed it. I was wondering over the timeline. I was like, okay, when did Noah just finish law school? I felt like Noah was just
that's
just
right.
So
yeah, there are a couple of things that might confuse people a little bit. But New York runs odd. I don't get to pick when they come out. But in order for this to have worked, yeah, it's got to be set roughly, you know, 8-9 years in the future or so. So Noah's older. Mia and Case have more kids. They all have all these kids. And oddly enough, Wade Rycroft, who's the hero of my July 31st book, is married in this book. But he, you know, in the real world, he hasn't even met his hero. I mean, he hasn't done that yet.
Yeah.
So. It's kind of weird, requires a little bit of suspension of disbelief, but I hope people will go with me.
Yeah. Yeah. I knew the way was getting married because it showed up in close cover. Like there was a time jump there. So I knew that was happening. So I was like looking forward to it. But yeah, I was wondering about why Noah, speaking of Noah, is he getting a book in the series or are we just going to have
two books? The second book is called Evidence of Desire and it's about David, who's the other, there are three law partners. And then the third book is going to be about Noah.
Okay. I'm looking forward to that. And then you have another Siren book coming out, which I'm looking forward to.
I have Siren books coming out all year long.
Ooh, yay.
For anybody who doesn't know, the Sophie Oak books are books that I recently got back from a publisher.
Okay.
And I am recovering them and re-editing them and bringing them in line with the Masters and Mercenaries and Lawless worlds.
Yeah.
So I am actually putting those out. The next one comes out July 17th, I want to say. And then it's roughly every 4 weeks on those.
Okay.
Until they're all out and everything lines back up and I can start writing Bliss again.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for letting me know that. So I have books to look forward to because I've been getting into the Siren's world, which is, I got into it a few weeks ago. I read Julian's book first and then I just went back and read the first two and I was like, I need more now. So.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yep. That next one, it comes out, I think July 17th. But
yeah.
I am not good remembering exact dates.
That's fine. I'll post it in the show notes. So no worries about the upcoming.
No, I did. It's July 17th. Yay.
Yay.
That's right.
So tell us where we can find you online.
I'm at www.lexiblake.net. I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram as Lexi1474. I'm on Twitter at Author Lexi Blake, and I've got a Pinterest board too.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for being in the show.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lexi, for a great interview. For show notes and other information, please visit whattoreadnextblog.com. If you enjoy this podcast, please consider leaving a review on iTunes. This is the best way for this podcast to get discovered by new audiences. Thank you so much for listening, and I hope you have a fantastic day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whattoreadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.